The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're gonna cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. We are live in the Farrell Palatia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny likes to have her sour diesel with a shot or two of JMO in New York City. The Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do but all my friends are coming around, flat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over my hands, should do be shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High this evening. And I'm getting ready to watch the second game, that Mavs Nuggets on TNT with your boy Luca.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor.
After I just watched the Nets whack the Sixers, I knew that, like, the whole night, that it was just going to be a long one for Philly because they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, and they were bricking, they were missing everything, they were absolutely terrible. I mean, they looked so bad, and not only that, they were standing around like toy soldiers. They literally had absolutely nothing going. And I mean, I kid you not, no player was doing anything. Nobody was moving. Nobody was cutting. Nobody was doing jack. And I just was like, they're finished. They're not even going to try tonight. They're not even going to play this game. So I was just sitting there tripping watching this game. I knew that game was over. And they played the Nets without Kyrie and without KD. Here's the deal. KD's got the whole, you know, protocol blues. He was in contact. It's a tracing thing. He was in contact with somebody that had the Hanta, the COVID, and therefore he can't play. So they shut him down. And then Kyrie's got the personal reason baggage tonight. Nobody knows what it is. There's reports going around, which are frankly terrible reports. The reports were that he's okay, but nobody knows if it's medical or otherwise. He's okay, and there's no timetable on when he's going to be back with the team. So that's like you know, nothingness news. That's like, oh, he's okay, but no other details at all. But I'm sure they know the details. I know Sean Marks knows the details. And at this point, when they don't want to give you anything, then I don't care what his details are. I don't care what his problem is. I just know that the same old story, Carver High. Here's your boy again, missing games. He just, I mean, this guy, we're not even 10 in, and he's missing games. Now, look, I've never denied he's got mad game, mad hops, the whole deal, great handle, great player, creative, all the rest, can do it all. But have you ever seen anyone miss more time in games than this guy? I mean, honestly. So anyway, 844-843-6879 is the number. And I just want to thank all of our radio affiliates for joining us tonight across the country on the terrestrial side, Sports Map side, Byline side, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, and all of Southern California. Yeah, yeah, and Lipstick City. La, 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 Lipstick City. And then, of course, we welcome in the biggest way possible, Sirius Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio, our new channel on Sirius XM. Badass style. It's great to be back on satellite after, as you know, all my years on the Howard Stern channels, Howard 101. So anybody that's here from that, we dig it, that you're jumping on board. The number's right there. If you're watching on the YouTube, if you go to YouTube and search Sports Grid Radio, you can watch the show on the tube, on the phone, on, you know, your devices, iPads, whatever. It's all there on YouTube. Just search Sports Grid Radio and you're styling. So I think I got that all down pat, right, Carver High? Right, so they can watch it, they can listen to it. We're on everything now, terrestrial, hundreds of stations. And then we're on all over the Southern Hemisphere with satellite radio. I always used to tell you that I'd go to the Caribbean a lot and I'd be laying on the Orient Beach in Saint-Martin, and I could hear Howard doing the show in the morning, and it was just the greatest thing ever. I'm laying at the beach, naked chicks everywhere, walking up and down, having drinks, and I'm listening to Sirius crystal clear, like I was standing next door to it in Midtown Manhattan on 49th, smoking a fatty across the street in the park like we used to next to City Lobster Shack. We used to have parties over there, Carver High. You would have loved it. Free food. And then we had porn stars eating free food with us, you know, lobster and everything. We'd be over there with porn stars with bibs on, eating lobster, just dunking it in butter. And then, like, you know, in between lobsters and everything, we'd be out in the park. There's like a park right next door to the restaurant. We'd be out there, and it'd be Spark City. It'd be like Fattyville. We had it all going. It was awesome. So anyway, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can see the number, actually. Now, if you've never heard of that number and you're tripping because you're like, 844, I'm not paying for that. It's toll-free, idiot face. Just pick it up, dial and dance.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for all on the bench, again, it's toll-free, 844-843-6879 to get on the bench.
and good to have you with us. So I was watching tonight, and I hit the bet. You know, today on Coast to Coast, if you remember Carver High, I was riding a lot of games in college basketball, right? Like, I had just massive amounts of action. And the big game I thought that everybody was interested in was Wisconsin and Indiana, right? So I had Indiana on the spread at 7.5, and they lost in double overtime by 7, I believe, 80-73, right? So I'm watching this game, and I got to tell you, I mean, the language coming out of my mouth was just absolutely deplorable. It was so bad. I was cussing and losing my mind because, I don't know, I have to think clearly because there were a couple of points in the game when Indiana could have won the game. So at the end of regulation, they got a look from 3 feet out, and the kid missed it. And then listen to this. They got literally a three-footer, like a mini hook, right? Because they had the big going all night. He had it all going as usual. You know, in the middle, your boy Jackson Davis is their big stud, 6'10", 250. Guy's a monster, right? So in the game, he still had a big game. He was 10 of 16 from the floor. He had 23. But he had a look from right at the front, unless I'm mistaken. And all I know is that he missed. It came off the iron, and then they had two tip-in putbacks, like two just automatic, you know, bounce and pop, like just get your hand on it, try to tip it back in. Both of them clank off the back of the rim and don't go in. So it was like miss to win, tip again to win, and all three missed. And I'm just sitting there going, like, you gotta be Pharrellin' kidding me. Then they go through the entire first overtime, and Indiana with, listen to this, Indiana with 10 seconds left gets the last look. They go down. They go to get a shot. They give it to him on the wing. He's like on the wing near the corner, and he handles the ball like he's going to turn, spin, dribble, and then pop, right? But instead, they freeze him and get the jump ball. And Wisconsin gets the ball. They throw it inbounds with 1 point, like 7 left. Kid, the guard, takes the ball on a wing, throws up a prayer, and this thing rolls around, hits the backboard, rolls around again, and rolls off. They go to double overtime, and then Wisconsin starts hitting shots, and Indiana can't hit the you know, broadside of the barn, and Wisconsin beats them again by 7. Now, I had 7.5. I covered a bet both ways, per usual. But here's the deal that I just have to say it, honestly. I don't know about anybody else, but I, you know, Davidson's the kid that missed the runner to win it for Wisconsin at the end of the first overtime, right? So then in the second overtime, they hit all these shots. Wall hit a three, and, you know, I think Ford hit a three, and I think this guy Tice hit a couple of shots. He hit a three and then hit a couple of little, you know, shots in the box, in the paint, and he literally, you know, went off for him. He had 21. He led Wisconsin with 21. Now, Indiana has not won in Madison since 1998, right? I'm watching this game, and I'm watching this guy, Archie Miller, and I'm done with this guy. He sucks. I am so done with this guy, Carver High. Like, you know, I tell a joke to my son, Gunner, tonight. He's watching a game with me. He's like, man, they can't hit a shot. Like, they have no one that can shoot the rock. And he said, what's happening in this game? I go, oh, don't worry, don't lose. Archie Miller, he's doing a great job building the program. They should be ready by 2038.
Well, don't worry. He's a great recruiter. Don't worry about Archie. He's a great recruiter. But listen,
he needs to go back to Dayton is what he needs to do.
I was just going to say that. Send Archie back to Dayton. Enough of him.
Send him back. Send him to the end of the line. Lick it. I got to tell you, because he has done nothing in Bloomington. And let me tell you something else. Tom Crean was better. And they hated Tom Crean. But at least he won. At least he went to the tournament. At least he went to the Sweet 16. I mean, this guy, Archie Miller, he can't even get him in the tournament. And all they do is lose. And I mean, they got nobody. Now, listen, I mean to tell you, I was so livid. Here's why I was so livid. Now, I have a, you know, here's the thing. You know, I play tons of ball, right? So here I am. And here's the bottom line. So they got this kid, Anthony Leal. He was Mr. Basketball in Indiana. And he played at Bloomington South High School, right? And so they give the guy 35 minutes of burn, right? He hits three threes in the game, and he shoots only six shots in the game, hits half of them, all threes, and they never, I mean, this guy, he could have been Casper the Friendly Ghost. He was invisible. They would not pass him the ball. The guy was standing alone, all alone. They never guarded him. Wisconsin just left him standing there all alone in the corner and on the wing. And they just leave him alone. Now, I get it. He's a freshman. And so he doesn't get any respect from, obviously, his own teammates. And he gets no respect at all from his opponents. So Wisconsin was giving him 6 feet of like space. There was absolutely no one on him. 6 feet, Christ. You give me 2 feet, I'm sticking threes in your face. And Carver High knows I'm not lying. I will jack threes and stick them right in your face. NBA range. You give me 2 feet, forget about it. Give me 6 feet, I'll sleep with your girlfriend. So here's the deal. They literally wouldn't pass this kid the ball. But every time they did, in 35 minutes, he hit a three. And meanwhile, they got no one else that can shoot. No one else that can shoot. So here I am watching this just poor shooting team. Like Finnessy, 4 of 10, bricklayer. Durham, 6 of 12, bricklayer. Thompson had 4 fouls. He was 2 of 5. He's their best player besides Trace Jackson, and he was in foul trouble, so they had to sit his ass down. Now, the reason I would give him the ball is, A, he can shoot, and B, he's hitting shots. He hit 50% of them from three. And C, I guess they just don't give a rat's ass that he was Mr. Basketball. Now, they have three Mr. Basketballs on that team. Now, I know that might not mean something to people that, like, you know, Mr. Kentucky, Mr. Ohio, Mr. Indiana. I'm telling you, Mr. Basketball in Indiana is badass, right? That's when you're the best player of all basketball players in the whole state. You're the best player. And I don't care what anybody says. When you score 35 a clip in high school and you're Mr. Basketball and you can shoot 50% from downtown, I don't care if you're a freshman or a senior. I am. And if you're not being guarded and you got 6 feet of space between you and the defender to shoot, and you're a pure scoring shooter, and no one's going to guard you, and you have a coach that is so stupid that he lets him play for 35 minutes, but he doesn't tell his players to give him the ball. He's the only guy on the G-damn floor that can hit a shot. If you don't give him the ball, you deserve to not only lose in double overtime, you deserve to be fired. I don't understand how it is that all I do is watch Indiana basketball suck year after year, season after season, game after game, and it's this crappy-ass little tiny wussy coach they got, Archie Miller. You suck. At least your brother knows how to cheat, you femme. Carver High, did that, like, in terms of, you know, covering my feelings toward, like, I'm done with the ship has sailed on Archie Miller for me. When he got the gig, I'm like, this is going to be good. Let's go. And then now I am just done watching this guy cry to the refs when he doesn't, like, coach. I don't even know what he's doing. He's a great recruiter. My ass, he's a great recruiter. I mean, if you have that much talent, you got to get the right guys on the floor, give them the rock, and win some games. They haven't won in Madison since before Christ.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, for all on the bench, our boy Joe Lisi of College Football Today, and he's such a badass that we don't even care what he's on. He just needs to be on the bench regularly, so we always have Joe on as often as possible. Like, I think Thursday night's his grab bag night. What up, Joe? Happy New Year. I haven't talked to you since before Christmas, I think it was. And we'll get into the college bowl games later, but I got to tell you, I made just an absolute crap load of money on college football bowl games. Now, there's games I definitely lost, but I want to go through a lot of them with you and see how you did because I haven't talked to you. But anyway, HNY, bro, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, brother. Congratulations. SiriusXM, Thursday night. Wouldn't miss it for the world, Scotty. So, amped up for the college game on Monday night and obviously NFL playoffs this coming weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just got done just having a conniption about Archie Miller and watching Indiana lose in double overtime tonight in Madison. I hit the bet both ways. I had Wisconsin to win, and I had Indiana 7.5. They lost by 7. Nice cover by the hook. But my point was is just – how they never get better at all with this guy. I've given him every chance in the world. Year after year, all they do is lose big games. They never win any games that matter, ever. A big game, that's why they don't get in the tournament. They don't win big games. They win games that don't matter. That team hasn't won since 98 in Madison. That's not his fault. But I've just been talking to Carver High about it. I'm about done watching this guy be average. Like, literally, Tom Crean was better. I mean, he made Sweet 16s and he made tournaments, and all he did was get, you know, ridden out of town on a rail by the fans in Bloomington. Meanwhile, they love this guy, Miller, from Dayton, and I just said on the air, his brother's way better at coaching because he's also better at cheating.
Well, that's right. I agree with you. I thought Crean was better, Scotty, in terms of that, and it's becoming where Indiana's becoming more of a football school at this point, after tonight's loss, 7-5 overall, 2-3 in the conference, than a basketball school. And who would have thought that about 10 years ago, right? But Tom Allen getting the crew back to a bowl game, almost pulled out the victory against Ole Miss. And then the way you lose tonight, I mean, you had an opportunity, many opportunities to pull this game out and couldn't get it done. But it's unfortunate. Wisconsin, when you play defense, you're going to win ball games. And, you know, the Badgers, they put up 80 tonight and got it done. And Indiana did get the cover, though.
Did you watch the game, how many chances they had? And I guess my question is, did you see Anthony Leal, how the former, you know, Mr. Basketball in Indiana at Bloomington South, he hit 3 of 6 from downtown, and every time he hit a shot from deep, they were like, oh, my God, look at this freshman. And then his teammates never, literally never gave him the ball. The guy was standing all alone, 6 foot, the defender, between him and the defender, the whole game for 35 minutes, and they wouldn't give him the ball. Meanwhile, the guy drained 3 threes from downtown, and they never give him the ball, and all they did was keep taking crappy shots and missing. And it was just, and at the end of the first regulation, the double tip back to win the game, brick, and then at the end of the first overtime, had a chance for, with 10 seconds left, give a jump ball possession and then give up a shot that almost fell for Wisconsin. I mean, like, they can't get out of their own Pharrellian way, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, you have to finish, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing, Scotty. You have to be able to finish, especially in a conference game. And if you can't finish, you're not going to win ball games, especially on the road. But you mentioned Leal tonight, 9 points. He was 3 of 6 from the floor. So, again, it comes down to an experienced type of team. They're still young. They're still inexperienced. And, you know, as the season progresses, you hope that they find continuity. But we saw with college football in terms of the season. Some of these teams are just walking through the motions, and even though they're playing conference games, it doesn't matter.
All right, so let's go to the college football and everything. Like, I don't want to like spend any time on all these games, kind of that don't matter. And I just kind of am going back to like some of them. The one that I like to start getting hot on was right after Christmas when I bet on Liberty to beat Coastal Carolina and ruin their perfect season. I bet on Liberty to win that game outright, and they beat them in overtime, 37-34. That was a great game. That game was as good, if not better, than the BYU game when BYU went there to take them on, and they were able to win that game miraculously at the end. How did you do in that bowl game? Do you remember?
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't play that game. That wasn't one of my better picks. You know, I thought Coastal Carolina would win. I didn't play it at all. I think that was the same night that another game played. I believe it was West Virginia and Army. I was heavily involved in that game, but I did watch it. I mean, Liberty came to play, and, you know, you looked at Coastal Carolina. They lived dangerously the week before against Troy. Didn't have the opportunity to play UL Lafayette. And again, when you force turnovers like Liberty did, and you were able to move the football and score first and put the pressure on Grayson McCall to match that offense, they couldn't do it. And it was just a gutty win. That's what Hugh Freeze and the crew did all season long. And they knocked off ACC competition. So this was a team that was battle-tested along the way and thought they can go toe-to-toe with the Chanticleers, and they did.
Yeah, the Army game, I covered that game as well. I had West Virginia to win, and Army gave them all they could handle in that Liberty Bowl. I lost that because I didn't know going in. I do my bets, you know, before right when the bowl spreads come out. At the very beginning mm-hmm. is when I pick these games. So I got burned on that. Trask had no receivers in the Florida game. They were all out, and Oklahoma ran them out of that Cotton Bowl. That was embarrassing, 55-20. I got that served up to me. But on the game that I loved was that last second win comeback, to be honest with you. I know you saw it, what Georgia did to get back into that game and steal that game and ruin Cincinnati's perfect season. That was a crazy game, that Peach Bowl in Atlanta at the end of that game, and I hit Georgia to win that game.
It was, and, you know, I thought I had a good line to start the game. I had Georgia minus 6.5, but when they fell behind 21-10, I actually got them at plus 9.5 and took them on the money line once they cut the deficit to 21-16. So they actually wound up covering a 2.5 in-game number. And credit Georgia. I mean, when they came to play in the fourth quarter, they made Desmond Ridder one-dimensional. They shut down the offensive line. They put them into long third-down situations and forced turnovers. And again, I thought Georgia would come to play. It took them a while, but in the fourth quarter, they just dominated. You have to keep an eye out for JT Daniels and the Bulldogs for 2021. A lot of young talent, especially at the wide receiver position, with those playmakers like George Pickens, Jackson, and Burton. They're going to be a dominant team, I believe, in 2021 in the East.
I thought Daniels got roughed up in that game by Cincinnati. I thought the Bearcats played a great game, and they got burned on the long field goal, I think, at the end of the game. So I think the kid kicked like a 51-something yard field goal, maybe even
57.
Longer, 52 yards. 57.
57 yards. Yeah.
That was crazy. I hit Northwestern over Auburn, and I hit the Notre Dame backdoor cover against Alabama with Alabama winning and Notre Dame covering the 19.5. But I got burned at the stake on Ohio State Clemson. I had Clemson in that game. I got burned on Ole Miss beating my Hoosiers. And I did hit Iowa State. And I hit A&M. But now with Ohio State playing, like, how did you do in those two semifinal games? Did you have Notre Dame with the number and get that backdoor cover? Because they got their ass beat. I thought they looked terrible. They're so soft, the Irish, in these big games.
Yes, I did have Notre Dame, lost Clemson, had the over in the Clemson game. But I told this to Carver. Who's the guy that talked Brian Kelly out of punting on fourth down with 3:37 left and down 24 points? Because that guy needs a drink. I'll tell you what, you're down by 24 points in a semifinal playoff game and Brian Kelly screaming out to the team to punt. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, unbelievable. I mean, I thought Notre Dame played. Did you see that? He's screaming, punt,
yeah.
Punt, punt. They come out of the commercial break and then Ian Book. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, give me a break. What's the difference between down 24, down 31 at that point? A loss is a loss, but kudos to that guy. I think it was Ian Book, but he deserves a drink on the house.
Ian Book finished up his Irish career, and now they get this guy, Jack Cohn or whatever, from Wisconsin. Can you believe that they got that kid? Remember, he walked around in a walking boot all year and never played, and is he going to play immediately in South Bend? I mean, Carver High, what's the deal with him?
Long Island kid. Yeah, he's a Long Island guy. He should be able to play.
Well, I thought Carver High was going to jump in because
they might he might play. He's like kind of a stopgap. They have the kid from California that was a freshman that just came in. They want to play him, but he might not be ready yet. So Cohn might get a chance for 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, that kid's not going there. Listen, Joe, that kid's not going there for his health. I guarantee you that Kelly said, you come here, you're playing. He's got 1 year eligibility. He's going to be their quarterback.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's an upgrade for me and Book. I got to be honest with you. I mean, Jack Cohn is a quarterback that is definitely effective when you have a rushing attack. So as long as that offensive line is good, like it was this year, he can work off a play action. But asking Jack Cohn to solely win games with his arm a la Kyle Trask or Mac Jones type of player and Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, definitely not.
Don't worry. I'm not worried about him being an upgrade. They'll be 10-0, and then they'll go play in the playoff, and they'll lose by 40 like they always do. Who cares? Who cares, you know, about where he's from or if he's going to play? They just always lose big games. That's all I know. When we come back, we'll ask Joe about Ohio State, Alabama, Monday night. Bama's laying 8. Everybody I know's on Alabama. They're just not having it. I've been praying to the gods for the sermon to come out. The priest, I need him to bless this kid's sermon, see if he can have another big game and stun the tide. I'd love to see Ohio State beat him. We're talking to Joe Lisi on the bench. Great to be back on Sirius after all these years. I was, you know, with Howard for 8 years, whatever, from the beginning in 06. And then I went back to CBS after 8 years. And then I did 8 years there. And then I left for Sports Grid because bottom line is they were so sensitive about sports betting and gambling and the, you know, talk of all these spreads and money lines and teasers and everything that I was always doing and you know, talking about my picks. They got all worked up about my picks, so they had lawyers in my tuchus, and I just said, screw this. And then when the Sports Betting Network started, I was like, this is Gandhi. I got to do this. So I came over here, and now how funny is that that I'm finally back on Sirius all over the Southern Hemisphere, and mostly for my, you know, rocks off experience. I got to be on in New York and Jersey. That's where I live. And to not be on for like 10 years here after I left Howard, it just sucked so bad. I wanted to kill myself. So being back on Sirius is just, it's just sex for me. And that's the really only way to describe it. So it's great being on. Today was our first day on. We launched today. In fact, last night, overnight, I was listening to politicians arguing on CNN at like literally at 3:30 in the morning, and I heard them screaming and fighting, and then I woke up, like, they woke me up, these two chicks fighting. It was like a black chick and a white chick going at it, and they were screaming and yelling, and I woke up, I was like, shut up. And then I went, oh, look, I can listen to the launch on Sirius last night at 3 a.m. East, 12 Pacific, midnight, Billy Idol Hour, Love Out West in Vegas and Lipstick City, L.A. They had our Coast to Coast show on from yesterday. So that was the very first show that launched on the network. And then today, you know, in the morning when Opposite Picks went on, and then Early Line, Morning After, they all came on and we rolled out and launched. And it was just, you know, all day long from that point forward. But it started last night, overnight, 3 a.m. East. And I heard it, and it just was fantastic for me. I was sitting up 3:30 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, listening to it. And I was just so happy. And then today at 4 to 6 with Coast to Coast, I was on. And now we're on the bench. live two different shows every day, Monday through Friday. You can check me out. It's good to have you with us on the satellite on 204, our channel, Sports Grid Radio Network. So I hope you're digging it. And we still love everybody on the Sports Map side, Byline side, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and L.A. We love you. Don't freak out because we're on satellite. And, of course, we're going to talk about it because it's brand new. And who wouldn't? It'd be like talking about a smoke show hottie that you snagged. You got a new hottie. You start talking about her. She's all shiny and new. Check out. All right, Joe Lisi, College Football Today is the coolest dude at the network. Hey, Joe, break it down for me. Ohio State and Alabama. I just have to say real quick, I hate both of their guts dead. I mean, there's no two teams I hate more in sports than Ohio State and Alabama. I got to be honest with you, I can't stand either one of them. I wish ill will on all of them, their fans, their players, everything. I have never liked either one of them. I can't even tell you. I'm a Kane fan and a Notre Dame fan, and like Carver High, and I just can't stand them. So, like, watching a game, I'll watch a great game. I'll watch the national championship. I'm not going to lie, but I hope they both lose.
Well, it should be a great game, Scotty, yeah, right? I mean, when you look at this matchup overall, I mean, the one thing that stands out for me is the ability for Ohio State to run the football. First three games of the year, they only average about 208 yards per game. They got it up over 300 the last four games of the season, 320 per game. If they rush for 254 the way they did against Clemson last week, I think they have a shot to win this ball game. I mean, they're catching positive points, plus 8.5. Now, I think that they actually win the game, but I didn't like the under here. The under is exactly, you look back at 2014 when Ohio State and Zeke Elliott played Oregon, same total, 74.5. They ran the football, kept Oregon's offense on the sidelines. I think it's Ohio State and the under in this ballgame.
Wow, so, you know, I couldn't agree with you more about Sermon and their running the ball. I have never seen anything like this guy's games, like against Northwestern and against Clemson. And he just absolutely put on a show. And he knew this kid was like, look, I am a grown man. These are kids that I'm running over. He looked so much stronger and bigger than every kid on the field. I don't care if it's Clemson. I don't care if it's Northwestern. He was just mauling people, stepping on people, shoving people out of the way. He looked like, you know, Derrick Henry in the NFL. That guy is writing his ticket to the NFL. As sure as I'm sitting here, he's a monster. And you think that they're going to try to run the ball down Nick Saban's throat?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Ohio State's ability to run the football. I think they have to run the football. I think if you're expecting Justin Fields, again, to duplicate the 6-touchdown performance against Alabama's defense, I don't think it's going to happen. Now, I think if they open it up early with play action, then that'll open up a rushing attack for Trey Sermon. Trey Sermon's added about 15 to 20 pounds of muscle from a couple of years ago when he was with Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley. He's a north and south type of runner. The way you have to neutralize Mac Jones is you have to sustain drives, ball control type of attacks, 8-9 minutes off the clock, at least 5 minutes. And the one thing I think that Ohio State has is the physicality on the offensive line. They pushed around Clemson. That was a Clemson defense only allowing 99 rushing yards per game. And when you look at Alabama's offense, first in FBS in terms of third down conversions, 59% on third down conversions. You're not going to go into a shootout. I don't think they can win that type of game. I think they have to run the football and keep Mac Jones on the sidelines, especially with Waddle back in that lineup. I think they can do it, though.
Wow. All right, so you're actually going to take Ohio State to win this game outright and taking those points and the under.
Yeah, I'm taking the under. Yeah, I'm taking the points with Ohio State, taking the under. I'm also sprinkling a little on the money line with Ohio State. I think they have the type of recipe to win this matchup. You have to be able to run the football on Nick Saban. You have to do it. And that's what you look at Ole Miss earlier on in that year. They were giving up Alabama around 138 rushing yards per game, 54% on third down conversions. Teams haven't challenged them vertically. You cannot throw into the short to intermediate flat against Alabama. Bubble screens won't work. That goes right into the strength and speed of their defense. You need to attack them straight on. And that's what Ohio State possesses. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, they're big play wide receivers. But I think they need to be aggressive early on and then run the football with Trey Sermon. I think they can do it, though. Sustained drives.
All right. All right, so, you know, the reason I hate Ohio State so much is that I'll never forget that Porter call against my Canes in the national championship game in 01. That made me sick to my stomach. I've held a grudge ever since, like an Italian woman. And then as far as Alabama goes, I just purely hate him dead forever. I mean, my entire life, I'm double nickels, and my entire life, they're always good. This guy's, you know, got eight of the last 14 national championship games. I'm sick and tired of it. It's like no one else exists in college football. I respect what they've done. I'm not stupid. I think it's incredible what they've done. It's total domination of the sport. Nobody else, in my opinion, comes close to them, and they just own college football at a level even right. Dabo and Clemson can't get to. Here they are failing again. I know they've had success, but everybody thought Trevor's going to win the Heisman, they're going to win the national championship, all this other nonsense. They've won that title, and then everything else is Alabama, and I'm sick and tired of them, so I'm going to go with you. I'm on Ohio State. I was on Ohio State. I told my buddy today I'm on Ohio State because the sermon and that chunk of money on that eight spot, eight and a half, whatever you can get it at, I'm cool with that. So let's see what happens. But I can't stand either one of them. Now, Joe, let's talk about, you know what, Carver High, because I'm going to get into these Saturday and Sunday NFL games. Literally, your boy Lisi's going to have to get a beer and a ham sandwich. There's no way I'm getting this done by the end of the hour. He's going to have to carry over like another bad Indiana Archie Miller loss. I mean, he's going to have to carry it over. Not one overtime, not two overtime. He's going to have to go into hour number two with us on Sirius 204. He's going to go to distance tonight. Your boy Lisi might be on here late night picking up women. I mean, all things happening. All right, so.
Open another bottle of wine, Joe. Open another bottle of wine.
All right, hey, Joe.
I bet the Portland game, guys, so I'm in for the long haul.
All right, Bills-Colts on Saturday kicks it off in Buffalo in the B-Lo. Your boy Carter High, the biggest Bills fan in the world of all Bills Mafias, the commander-in-chief. And he's certainly better than that tool-ass loser on Pennsylvania Avenue, that communist, fascist terrorist that we got running this country into the ground. Your boy Carver High, the commander-in-chief of all Bills Mafia, and he's ready for the Bills and Colts. I think this is going to be a punch-in-the-throat slugfest. I even think low-scoring, like war. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, I'm taking the underdog with Indianapolis. The one thing and recipe that you need to win on the road, especially in a tough environment against a tough defense, is a rushing attack. That's what they have with Jonathan Taylor. And a battle-tested crew. I mean, they won on the road earlier in the year against Chicago, 19-11. They won against Tennessee on the road, won that ball game in dominating fashion, double digits, and followed that up with a quality victory against Las Vegas at the end of the year. So I'm going with the team. You're giving me 6.5 points. I don't like Phillip Rivers, but I'm banking on the young kid, Jonathan Taylor, and that offensive line to carry me through. I think Buffalo wins a very close game, but I'm taking the points with Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm with you on that as well. I like the middle. I like the number 6.5 of the Colts. But you still like the Bills to win. So I was going to say, I could sense Carver High was going to the kitchen to get the butcher knife out to end your relationship. I thought he was going to go in there and come in through the back door and give you one right in the back in between a rib cage and a muscle and just shaft it right into you. But then when you said you still thought the Bills would eke it out, he slid it back behind his back pocket and down his leg into his sock, and he didn't end up murdering you. I thought he was going to murder you, Joe. It's unbelievable. So
it's all right. I'm used to it. I think the Bills have the type of defense, and I love the way Josh Allen is playing, believe it or not. I think they can challenge Kansas City. As long as they stay focused, they get through this game, I think they'll build momentum. Two solid running backs in Singletary and Moss. I love their secondary. They're physical, and they can score points at will when they get involved in the game, right? I mean, they're just focused. Beat Seattle. That Seattle game, I think, was really telling for me in terms of the way they pushed around that offense and defensive line and really contained Russell Wilson. From that point on, I've been a believer of the Bills. So I think if they win this game, they can challenge Pat Mahomes for the division title. So we'll see how it plays out.
So Carver High, have you said to anyone like that'll listen, including Ray Lewis, your daughter Olivia, anyone at all? Has anyone got your ear that you believe that your Bills are going to go to the AFC Championship game?
Listen, I've got people telling me that they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I don't want to hear it right now. I want to get through Saturday. Talk to me about Saturday 4:30, and let's see where we're at. I'm taking this 1 week at a time. That's it. I hate everybody's on the Bills. They can challenge Kansas City. They can go to the Super Bowl 1 week at a time. I haven't seen them win a playoff game since I was 15 years old, 1995. I am not jumping to any conclusions here.
So if they lose to the Colts, will you have to seek professional help, or will you just drink like a keg of Bud Light?
Professional help, 1,000.
1,000. I think he just said 100,000, not even 1,000. 100,000%. He's going to need a shrink and a lover. All right, when we come back, we'll get into the Seahawks, Rams, Bucks, and Washington with Joe Lisi. Joe, looks like they're going to give Harbaugh a new 5-year extension in Ann Arbor with a low buyout, according to reports tonight. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, is he going to change it around next year? I don't think so. I'd be shocked if they contend for a Big Ten title the way they laid an egg this year. Unbelievable. But we'll see. The low buyout gives him the opportunity, if things aren't going his way, to just jump ship to the NFL next year. Now, I don't know if anybody will want him, but we'll see what happens in 2021 for Jim Harbaugh.
All right, Seattle and the Rams, that second game on Saturday. And tonight, Goff is saying, hey, I'm good to go. If they need me to play, I'm ready to play. What do you think? Obviously, they're going to play Goff, aren't they? And then how do you think he'll do? And I think that defense is so good with Donald and Ramsey and company, and they got more than that, that I just have a feeling they're going to be in that game. They have messed with Russell Wilson this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is one game I really don't like, but I would lean to Seattle here. I can't go against Russell Wilson at home. I will say I love the total. 42, 42.5. I don't like the way both teams are playing down the stretch right now, so I think in terms of this wild card game, you'll see both offenses opening up to establish some type of consistency. So 42 to me is a cheap number, so I lean to Seattle, but really like the over in this matchup, Scotty.
Really? So you don't respect that Rams defense?
I do, but at times, especially against the run, they don't show up sometimes. And, you look at that game against New England, I understand they shut them down and made them one-dimensional. But I think Seattle's going to challenge them over the top. They're going to challenge Ramsey. That'll open up rushing lanes for those running backs.
All right, we'll come back and talk about Brady against Washington and then the three games on Sunday with Joe Lisi. See who he's going to bet on in these games. We got a lot of action going on Saturday and Sunday with the wild cards. It's Pharrell on a bench.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours.
Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.